Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
During Lent, we've been walking through the Ten Commandments. Tonight we consider the ninth and tenth commandments given by the Lord through Moses. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his male servant, or his female servant, or his ox, or his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's. At the same time, we meditate on John chapter 13, verse 1. Now before the feast of Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. This is our text. All the commandments are summed up in one word: love. When Jesus is asked about the first and greatest commandment, he says, the first commandment is, love the Lord your God. And the second commandment is like it: love your neighbor as yourself. On the night when our Lord was betrayed, Jesus gave his disciples a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, so you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. St. Paul echoes this same statement when he says in the book of Romans, owe no one anything except to love each other. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. So what's the opposite of love? Our first response is to say that hate is the opposite of love. Certainly hate is incompatible with love. No one can truly love God whom he doesn't see, who hates his brother whom he does see. Another opposite of love, we might say, is fear. St. John writes, there is no fear in love. And our current situation shows that the opposite is actually true, too. There is no love in fear or in panic or in worry. The ninth and tenth commandments suggest one more opposite of love: coveting. The sinful desire of the heart for what our neighbors have. The opposite of love is to be coiled like a serpent, to be curved in on myself, to be held captive to my selfish thoughts and sinful desires. The opposite of real love is to love myself to the bitter end, to love myself above God and everyone else, to love myself to death, and then right on into hell. I would say that one of the results of the coronavirus is that it has unmasked us. It feeds on our deepest fears. It shows what we really trust in. It reveals just how much we love ourselves and our lives above all things. It makes us discontent with our present circumstances. I'd be lying if I didn't say that I covet life as it used to be so long ago in February or January, or way back in 2019. And now it's Holy Week. Not the Holy Week that you or I planned or anticipated, but Holy Week nonetheless. Still the week when we marvel at and ponder what our Lord has done for us when he went to the cross. And when we marvel at and rejoice in what our Lord still does for us this day. Though so much has changed, there is one thing that has not changed. There is one thing that remains the same: our Lord Jesus Christ and his love. Our Lord Jesus Christ, who gives us himself. Though everything else may be taken away, our Lord serves us with his own life, with his word that is life-giving, with his gifts. We're reminded as we come to Holy Week of the words that our Lord spoke to the disciples when he said that the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. This season that we're living through makes me wonder, how much is enough? What do I need? What can I learn to be content with? Can I learn to be content with his life, with the gift of Christ himself, even when so many other things fall away and are taken from us? In this Holy Week, my prayer is that I would learn to be content with him, and that you as well would learn to be content with Christ, even if all you can have of him is his word, which is true, and which is filled with life, and which brings him not only into your ears, but brings him right into your hearts. In place of our longings for the past, in place of our selfish and sinful desires, Jesus offers himself for our contentment, his death on the cross, and soon we will celebrate also his resurrection from the dead. Our Lord Jesus Christ came not to cling to his life, but to lay his life down for you. You heard how St. John begins the night of our Lord's betrayal. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. He didn't love himself. He didn't love his own life, but he loved you, right to the end. The nails driven into his hands, and the spear thrust into his side, the crown of thorns driven into his head. That's how much our Lord loved you and loved me. Despite the misplaced fears and the misplaced trust and the misplaced love that we have, he loved you fully and completely. When our Lord took the position of a servant, and he wrapped his outer garment around himself, and he knelt down, and he washed the feet of St. Peter and of the other disciples, that was love. It was a picture of what he would do the next day when he went to the cross, because on the cross, he is the servant of servants. And he is the servant of those who are least and those who are last and those who live in fear and those who are coiled in. He serves them, serves you with his death. When our Lord washed their feet and declared them to be clean by his washing and his word, he did it out of love. And when he washed you with his word in holy baptism, he loved you too. And he washed your sins right away. And he washed you into his own death and resurrection. When our Lord gave on that night when he was betrayed his body and his blood in, with, and under the bread and wine for the forgiveness of sins, that was love. And he did it for you. And how we long for that gift, and how we miss that gift right now, and how we look forward to the feast. Perhaps soon in small groups, but even more we look forward to when we can all be gathered together here. We hunger and thirst for his righteousness to be placed into our mouths, and it will be. Here we pray, but we know whether or not we feast on him here soon, we know what lies ahead, the wedding feast of the Lamb, and no one can take that from us. When our Lord went to the Garden of Gethsemane, and when he knelt to pray, saying, "Not my will, but thine be done," that was love for you, to place his own will into the hands of the Father who willed your salvation through his suffering and death. Our Lord poured his heart out into Holy Week. He poured his heart out into love. He did not covet what his neighbors had, but he coveted, he desired, he longed to give himself to you. And so our Lord, to the very end, he loved God above all things, and he loved you, his neighbors, more than he loved himself. This is the love that we need, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the love of our Lord Jesus Christ. poured out for us on the cross, given to us in the Holy Communion, served to us in our baptisms as well. And you may recall, I quoted those words of St. John from his epistle earlier, that love and fear do not coexist together. He reminds us that perfect love casts out fear. As we go through this time in which there seem to be so many things that we have to fear, it is the perfect love of our Lord Jesus Christ that delivers us from our fear. And it is the perfect love of our Lord Jesus Christ that forgives us our selfishness and sin and pours His love into us. And it is the love of our Lord Jesus Christ that will take us to the end and beyond. Having loved His own who were in the world, He loved them to the end, and then even past the end, into the endless world to come. May this love of our Lord for you this night, throughout this holy week, and in the days and weeks to come, sustain and strengthen you. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.
Amen.
We continue with the small catechism. What is the ninth commandment?
You shall not covet your neighbor's house.
What does this mean?
We should fear and love God, so that we do not seem to get our neighbor's inheritance or house, or get it in a way which only appears right, but help and be of service to him in keeping it.
What is the tenth commandment?
You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his manservant or maidservant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor.
What does this mean?
We should fear and love God, so that we do not entice or force away our neighbor's wife, workers, or animals, or turn them against him, but urge them to stay and do their duty.